A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. May the word be on our mind, upon our lips, and in our hearts. A man named John was sent from God. He came for testimony, to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to testify to the light, and this is the testimony of John. When the Jews from Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to him to ask him, "Who are you?" he admitted and did not deny it, but admitted, "I am not the Christ." So they asked him, "What are you then? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." They said to him, "Who are you, so we can give an answer to those who sent us? What do you have to say for yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of the one crying out in the desert, 'Make straight the way of the Lord.' As Isaiah the prophet said." Some Pharisees were also sent. They asked him, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ or Elijah or the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water. But there is one among you whom you do not recognize, the one who is coming after me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to untie." This happened in Bethany, across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The Gospel of the Lord.
Opening song, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior," even if we can't sing very well. It's funny, but that's sometimes how things happen. And it doesn't end up like you wanted it to, because it was supposed to be kind of a, "Wow, this really kind of says everything about our retreat." But when you're trying to figure out, what note am I on? Yes, that's how God works, I think. It reminded me of an Ash Wednesday mass I had out in Hastings, and it was when Monsignor McKay got sick with leukemia, and so I was kind of administrator of the parish, and Father Finn was my assistant, and scrambling, and we had to pick things on for Ash Wednesday, so come out and pick a song for Ash Wednesday, and I can't remember the name of the song right now. But it was this great song about giving your heart to the Lord, and kind of a perfect Latin song, but the refrain was, "Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah," which was the refrain of the band, Father Howell's in the sacristan, and I really look back and he's going, couple things I want to talk about. One is that message of John the Baptist: make straight the way of the Lord. And I always think of when I hear that passage, he says, "Knock down the mountains and fill in the valleys." I always think about growing up in Bellwood, Nebraska, which is about 10 miles, 12 miles from David City, and 15 miles from Columbus, living between there down in the Platte River Valley. And beautiful country. But so you go to school every day. I went to school every day after David City, Aquinas, and you have to walk next level into the big city. When I was a boy, those hills were like this. And it was a two-lane road, and it was very hilly. Consequently, it was pretty dangerous, especially if you were going fast and passing people. And then when I was, junior or senior, so I think a sophomore year, it was like that. And I was just driving to school on my 71 Duster with the 302, and you know, raising Mycroft, which is whatever he had, GTO, dangerous. And then it shut down my junior year, and they had to take gravel roads to, because they completely shut it down because they were redoing it. And that was even more dangerous. And the dust and the curves and the, you know, amazing. You know, brother on the first road, louder than I am, but he had a four blast on that road and almost got killed. His wife had an accident on that gravel road and turned the vehicle over. She was okay too. But it was so cool when they opened that road back up, Highway 15, because this became this. And they also widened it, though, so you had big shoulders, you know, on the side. But instead of all these hills and valleys, it was a gradual incline. And you could pretty much, maybe not completely, but you could pretty much pass anywhere on this way up here, because now you could see ahead. And it always made me think about, make straight the way of the Lord. Knock down the hills, fill in the valleys. Don't put up so many obstacles. Don't make it so dangerous. Let the pathway to the Lord and to the Lord to us a little easier. It's that whole thing of staying away from the temptations and the occasions for sin. It's amazing, at least for me, and I always say, one of the big lessons of being a priest is that we are forced to go on a retreat every year. It's required. I remember as a young priest, especially when I was taking classes at the university in the summertime with my administration degree, and saying, man, I have no time. You know, let me get my own thing going, and I'll do a little retreat someplace on my own and know that the diocese and I'm thinking, yeah, this sure, the diocese is full of crap. You know, Thank God. Because I come on retreat and realize, man, I am so off kilter, off focus. I made these hills and valleys that it's dangerous. And I need to knock down the hills and fill in the valleys. And this journey of Advent, the journey of our life, is, you can make that easier. It was so much more safe. Be my way to the Aquinas and not be late for school. It's a great image for me. I just love that image. We do that by taking the time. Taking the time to say, okay, Lord, help me. Like getting on that treadmill, I gotta get off the treadmill just for a day, or maybe it's for an hour, or it's making that, that holy hour, or and then I wake up in the morning before I get out of bed, I'll spend 2 minutes just laying in bed and thanking the Lord for the day and asking him to help me be his disciple. But we need to do that in a straight way. And so I compliment you on being here. I know it's not always easy, and this is a difficult time of year. But thank you for making that choice. And I am thankful to the diocese that made me make that choice. To say, you have to do this. And absolutely, I have to do it. I'm not talking to you right now. I'm not being out of the tree. I'm on the tree. What I want to talk about is that second reading, and we kind of heard about it this morning at breakfast from Father Aaron. When Paul's talking to the Thessalonians, and the Thessalonian community that he began to was kind of they were known for their just past the life is half empty. You know, the cup is half empty. It's never full. It's never good. Woe is me. Kind of this pessimistic, negative, in general, the generalization of that community, as opposed to the Corinthian community, which was always very lively and active, and they often got themselves in a lot of trouble because of that. But their struggle in the community was that sort of negativism. And that's where Paul, and kind of trying to pull them out, says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in all circumstances, give thanks. For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. You almost can sense a little bit of them saying, discerning, trying to discern what God's will is for me. He's saying, okay, I'm going to tell you what God's will is for you. First and foremost, rejoice always, never stop ceasing, and thank the Lord in all circumstances with thanks. Now, I'm telling you, that's God's will for you. And what an incredible gift. And it's a great meditation. Great meditation, and again, it's not, as Father Barron said, it's not the sense of on our emotional level, and those kind of emotional, it's, in that gut of the soul. It doesn't mean you have to smile, it doesn't mean you don't have sadness, and it doesn't mean you don't have, but in the essence of who you are, that do not forget what God has done for you. And that makes all the difference in the world. The greatest sin, I believe, of the Old Testament is that people forgot. Whenever they forgot how much God loved them, then they built idols. Then they slipped away. Then they, if we forget how much we love, then the seeking other things becomes, I'm looking for something. I'm looking. Remember, because it's right there. And it doesn't, Jesus Christ came to take away sin and death. We still have sin and we still have death. So did he fail? I don't think so. He's transformed the realities of those things to say, if we let our hearts accept resurrection. And if, and it's a crazy thing, again, it's that if we make a decision to give it all over to Him, and making a decision to not be in control. And not that somebody else, but to give that control to the Lord. Then we experience that resurrection in the depth of our soul. So the martyrs can talk about it. That's why the persecuted, I think I mentioned one of this great book a couple of years ago called The Catholic Martyrs of the 20th Century. Incredible. I love it. It could be a great historical background, and then it would give individual stories. When there's more martyrs in the 20th century than all the other centuries were together. That's scary. But the lives of these people have
find that resurrection joy despite the worst of circumstances.
So, I want to conclude with hope for a daily conclusion. And we say it, and this has kind of been my slow meditation for the last 3 years, is with the new translation of the Roman Missal. In our practice, which is the prayer right before the Eucharistic prayer, we say, Lord, we are in the lift up your hearts, so lift them up. Let's give thanks to the Lord our God. He is right and just. And then, typically, the priest will say, it is truly right and just. Our duty and our salvation. Always and everywhere give you thanks. It's true about our duty and our salvation. Always and everywhere give you thanks. Think about your week. Always. A lot of hours last week that I give you thanks for this, whatever it is. How is that possible? Because of that resurrection. So, in conclusion, this is towards the end of Pope Francis's Joy of the Gospel. Paragraph 275, it says, the mysterious working of the risen Christ and his Spirit. But in the second chapter, we reflected on that lack of deep spirituality which turns into pessimism, fatalism, and mistrust. Some people do not commit themselves to mission because they think that nothing will change and that it is useless to make the effort. They think, why should I deny myself my comforts and pleasures if I won't see any significant result? This attitude makes it impossible to be a missionary. It is only a malicious excuse for remaining caught up in comfort, laziness, vague dissatisfaction, and empty selfishness. It is a self-destructive attitude. For, quote-unquote, man cannot live without hope. Life will become meaningless and unbearable. If we think that things are not going to change, we need to recall that Jesus Christ has triumphed over sin and death and is now almighty. Jesus Christ truly lives. Put another way, if Christ had not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. The gospel tells us that when the first disciples went forth to preach, the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message. The same thing happens today. We are invited to discover this, to experience it. Christ, risen and glorified, is the wellspring of our hope. And he will not deprive us of help, the help we need, to carry out the mission which he has entrusted to us. And this is the paragraph that we have, 276. Christ's resurrection is not an event of the past. It contains vital power which has permeated this world. Where all seems to be dead, signs of the resurrection suddenly spring up. It is an irresistible force. Often it seems that God does not exist. All around us we see persistent injustice, evil, indifference, and cruelty. But it is also true that in the midst of darkness, something new always springs to life, and sooner or later produces fruit. On raised land, life breaks through stubbornly yet invincibly. However dark things are, goodness always reemerges and spreads. Each day in our world, beauty is born anew. It rises transformed through the storms of history. Value always tends to reappear under new guises, and human beings have arisen time after time from situations that seem doomed. Such is the power of the resurrection, and all who evangelize are instruments of that power. We are a resurrection people, and we come to this Advent season where we gaze into the eyes of the infant child Jesus with the mind of his resurrection. Pray that we may never let anything so fill us with sorrow and sadness that we forget the